first Lord's Day of every month, we have a psalm meditation that will guide us in contemplating and thinking about a psalm throughout the upcoming month. I'm glad to ask you to give your attention to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Please listen as I read God's Word. A psalm of Asaph. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens far above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes, or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction, and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him, and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. This psalm is about worship. True worship is in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus said about worship in John chapter 4 when he spoke to the Samaritan woman. That God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The opposite is that there is worship that is full of hypocrisy. Worship that draws near on an outward level, but is far from God inwardly. And this psalm warns us about formal, heartless worship. The psalm opens with an impressive revelation of the mighty God, the Lord, the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. It says that he shines from Zion, his holy dwelling place, reminiscent of the presence of the Lord that was seen by the Israelites when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. God is revealed in the perfection of beauty, with holy fire, with covenant faithfulness. And why is he revealed this way? Because he is coming to judge his people. And why would he judge his people? Because the Israelites draw near to God outwardly with their sacrifices, but inwardly they are far from God. In fact, verses 16 to the end of the chapter describe how the Israelites would draw near to God with their sacrifices, but then turn around and they would break God's covenants. They would lie. They would keep company with adulterers. They would be murderers. And it's interesting how the psalmist brings up the second table of the law, our duties towards men, to demonstrate the first table of the law, how far from God they were. The middle verses then take up the charge against the Israelites that they were heartless in their worship. God says, I won't bring charges against you because of your sacrifices. In fact, they're very regular. Daily, even, in their sacrifices. God says, I won't take offense at that. Instead, his offense is because they missed the point of what those sacrifices were about. They misunderstood what they were all about and practiced their religion outwardly and formally without drawing near to God with their hearts. In fact, God says, if I wanted animals, I could go out and get any animal I wanted to. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. That verse is often quoted to say something different, but here God is using it as a searching condemnation of their sacrifices. That here they were bringing animals, thinking that that is what would please God, while all the while practicing all manner of wickedness. They were drawing near to God with their bodies, but not with their hearts. The fact of the matter is that sinners have never been justified by the sacrifice of animals. God is not a devourer of animals. This is not his way of salvation. The Old Testament saints were justified by their faith in the promised Redeemer that is figured by those sacrifices. In fact, this is a very eye-opening psalm to those who believe that the Old Testament saints were justified by their sacrifices or by their obedience. God says that's not the case. That salvation was and is and always will be by faith in the promised Redeemer, Jesus Christ. The covenant God gave sacrifices to confirm the redemption that he was providing. The Old Testament saints looked forward to that, the promised Redeemer, Jesus Christ. True worship, then, says God, while it doesn't negate the commands of sacrifice and worship, true worship clings to the promises of God, clings to the Redeemer. And it's on this count that the judge comes in all of his glory to sift and to purify his people. What appropriate words of wisdom those are for every age. That worship must be in spirit and in truth. Daily devotions, attendance at church, participation in the worship services are all good and important things. They're part of the daily Christian life. But they do not save. And you can approach those exercises of faith in a way that clings to them savingly. You can draw near to God outwardly, but on the inside be far from God. God says, the Mighty One, God the Lord says, I will not take issue with your attendance at church, with your daily devotions. But if you are not drawing near to the living God through faith in Jesus Christ, then your worship is heartless. And the mighty God knows. This psalm leads us and prompts us to turn to that living God, the faithful one, and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Throughout this month, we'll be prompted to remember that. And as we sing Psalm 50, I pray that you would turn your attention to that covenant-keeping, life-giving God and your relationship through Him in Jesus Christ. Let's turn to the first selection of Psalm 50. We'll stand and sing Selection A, Psalm 50, Selection A. Please stand to worship God.